This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury, and I'm joined in the studio by
Audrey Raj
and Christine Wong.
Moving on to story number four in just a moment, how open offices are as bad as they seem. They reduce face-to-face time by 70%. Just a quick reminder, though, we started off today with a story about seven women who made Forbes' richest self-made women list for the first time, including Kylie Jenner. Asked you guys what you think of that and whether or not somebody like Kylie Jenner should be considered self-made, and in fact, what self-made means to you. You know, what is your definition of it? Get us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or on Twitter at BFM Radio. We'll read your messages out as they come in. Final story then, before we give you some events to check out. Tell me about this open office thing then, because we work in one.
Yes.
So it would be nice to know why they're saying it's not as good as it seems.
Right. So the authors of this particular study are Ethan Bernstein and Stephen Turbin from Harvard, and they published their findings in the Philosophical Transactions of the Royal Society B. And what they did was they actually studied two Fortune 500 multinational companies about their kind of productivity between being a kind of more corporate structured office to having an open office layout. And what they found was that across the board, face-to-face interaction time dropped by about 70%. The use of email increased between 22 to 56%, and productivity generally kind of slipped.
This is when they were moved into an open office space.
Yeah. Right. So generally speaking, employees have been, many companies have so far waged a kind of war on walls to try to create vibrant workspaces. But what they often get, Bernstein and Turbin write, is an open expanse of proximal employees choosing to isolate themselves as best they can, e.g. by wearing large headphones, while appearing to be as busy as possible since everybody can see them. Generally speaking, employees complain of noise, distractions, lowered productivity, a loss of privacy, and a feeling of being watched. And on top of that, other studies have suggested that open offices can be bad for workers' health. However, Bernstein and Turbin felt that there wasn't a lot of data on how employee behavior changed in these boundless workspaces, so they studied these two big companies, which they have not named. They have remained anonymous. So for the first company, they tracked the activity of 52 employees for 15 days prior to the redesign, and then 3 months later, another 15 days after the redesign. So the employees wore a badge with a set of sensors that monitored their interactions and movements. So An infrared sensor captured who they were facing, a microphone picked up office chatter, an accelerometer it recorded movement, and a Bluetooth sensor tracked their location in the office. So they would track face-to-face interactions, alternating speech, and location monitors indicating if employees are close to each other, and the interaction ended when any of these conditions ceased for 5 seconds. Overall, over the course of the study for both companies, the researchers captured 96,778 face-to-face interactions, 84,026 emails, and 25,691 instant messages. Woo! After the open redesign for the first company, the employees spent 72% less time having face-to-face interactions with each other. The raw numbers are about an average of 5.8 hours of face-to-face time per day per person before the redesign, but only 1.7 hours of face-to-face time per person per day afterward. Electronic communication also increased. Workers sent 56% more emails to their colleagues and 67% more instant messages. And for the internal confidential metrics of productivity, the company also shared that it had fallen as well, but they did not disclose the details of what that meant. For the second anonymous company, similar thing, just more employees. So they tracked 100 employees for 8 weeks before a similar office overhaul, and then 2 months afterward for another 8 weeks. For that, face-to-face interaction time declined by between 67% to 71%, and emailing jumped between 22% to 50%. The researchers did not look at instant messaging data for this company as well. Unsurprisingly, workers with desks close together or who worked on the same team had more interactions, but the effects were smaller than expected. So generally speaking, the wall busting kind of backfired and people just talked less to each other because the office was so open and they felt like they needed more privacy.
Do you think, though, that it was affected, slightly skewed, I'd say, by the employees knowing that they were being monitored?
But the thing is that because even though they knew they were being monitored, there was a period of time before the open office redesign where they interacted with each other fine. So it wasn't really about being monitored. It was specifically measuring the fact that even while they're being monitored, their behavior changed drastically after the office layout changed.
Interesting.
So it's interesting because what they're saying is that, so the kind of conclusion that they came to was, consistent with the fundamental human desire for privacy and prior evidence that privacy may increase productivity, when office architecture makes everyone more observable or transparent, it can dampen face-to-face interaction as employees find other strategies to preserve their privacy, for example, by choosing a different channel through which to communicate, meaning electronic communication.
Right, right, yeah.
So it really just feels that because the space is so open, you don't really feel like you can get stuff done because you feel like everyone's watching you all the time. And so you end up not getting anything done, but also trying to look like you're getting stuff done because you're being felt like you're being watched all the time.
I mean, I've worked in many open offices. I've also worked in traditional, you know, you have your own office kind of environments. I have to say, I much prefer an open office. Mm. You know,
why is that?
On a personal level, it just feels, you know, more organic. You know, I feel as though if I need to speak to Audrey, you know, I don't have to go out of my office and walk down a corridor and knock on your door and make sure you're available and be able. I can just lean over and say, "Hey, Aud," you know, yeah. And it just feels as though that level of communication is made much easier for me, anyway.
But productivity levels,
I wouldn't say they're any different, to be honest. Especially in this industry, anyway. You know, if you're locked in a room separately, we should probably ask our sound engineer, actually, you know, who is locked in a room all by himself.
Not locked.
We keep him in there like a caged animal. You know, he does work very fast, though, and I suspect that's probably because he isn't distracted.
Yeah, okay. But I think, like, all this comes down to the sector, the industry that you're working in. Because if you're an accountant and you really need to look at those numbers,
you want to be on your own.
You need that privacy. Yeah. But then again, having face-to-face interaction all the time doesn't also increase productivity or, for me, affect productivity. Mm. I don't know. Maybe I'm not looking at it in the right way. Mm. But I think this study kind of, like, doesn't really convince me that, you know, open offices are bad.
I actually kind of have to disagree with you guys slightly on that, because I'm the kind of person where I find it really hard to focus on stuff if I'm not like kind of listening to other stuff. So if people are having conversations around me, I keep picking up on conversations and wanting to kind of like join in. So it's like I'll usually tend to listen to music or something while working so that I can actually focus on what I'm doing instead of being tempted to join in on social stuff. So for me personally, maybe productivity would be better if I were more sequestered. But I do like I do like the work culture that is promoted by having an office environment, because you get less of a "this is one department, this is another department" sort of feel, and you can kind of do you can have more communication across teams a lot better. But I don't know. It also might not help that I'm new to the workforce, so I maybe haven't had the discipline to really focus on my stuff yet.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, well, my point is that, you know, the fact that this study says that it reduces open offices, reduce face-to-face time, for me, I really don't know how that affects productivity. You know, having more face-to-face time or less face-to-face time. I think productivity comes down to the sector that you're in, or, you know, the kind of job, the kind of person you are as a worker. You know, if you need to listen to something, if you don't, if you prefer an open office just so that you can scream over the pillar to, I don't know, sales and say, "Sonia, get off your..."
It's normally the other way around. They're normally screaming at us. All right, we have to take a very short break. When we come back, we'll give you some events that we think you might want to check out for this week. Meanwhile, though, we've got a couple of tracks back to back. We've got Metric with Dead Disco, followed by Suede with The Beautiful Ones, here on BizBite on Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It's almost time for us to wrap up here on Enterprise Biz Bites. This is your captain, Mr. Rich, speaking. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we started off the show with a story about how seven women have made Forbes' richest self-made women list for the first time, including Kylie Jenner. We're asking for your feedback regarding that story. We've had one message during the break.
Yes.
Chris, do you want to just read it for
us? This is a tweet from @NavinMogan, who says, "Self-made equals no silver spoon. Kylie, God bless her, is almost a billionaire because of many factors. Having parents willing to fork out thousands for her lip job does help. Is she self-made? Can't agree with that."
I agree entirely. Thank you very much for the feedback. Don't forget, we will be back same time, same place tomorrow. And we'll be letting you know what the main story is so you can contribute a little earlier anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have for today. Don't forget, we will be podcasting this show. Slightly different element to the podcasting from today. We're going to try out a new system. Rather than giving you guys one big fat podcast, podcast, we thought we'd give you four little bite-sized podcasts.
Because this is Enterprise Biz Bites.
So let's see how that works out. Give us your feedback if you like it. If you don't like it, we'd like to know. You can get us on 018-789-8899. We're going to quickly, very quickly, run through the stories we covered today. We started off with how seven women have made it onto Forbes' richest self-made women list for the first time, including Kylie Jenner.
Then we talked about how all that advice to find your passion might be kind of bad for you.
Yeah, and then how to reset a bad work day. You can actually do it.
And then we discussed how open offices may not be great for productivity.
Don't go anywhere, though, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. Last month, Malaysia Airports Holdings recorded its highest passenger traffic growth for the year of about 10%. The Breakfast Grill spoke to the acting CEO, Raja Azmi Raja Nazuddin, on the airport operator's plans to improve its services, expansion strategies, as well as its relationship with stakeholders like Mavcom and AirAsia. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Audrey Raj and Christine Wong, this has been Enterprise Biz Bites here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.